based specifically on the life of the cane cutters, because I come from a family, members of my own family are employed as cane cutters. So what I write about is based on observation, but it's not a kind of a sociologically accurate in inverted commas, transcript of reality. I mean, you leave that to the historians and the sociologists, but a kind of an imaginative penetration into material, or an imaginative interpretation of the life. So it's my own version of events. The dominant theme of the poems, or songs as I call them, relates to the tension between reality and dream, which is also another way of saying that it relates to the tension between poverty, which is the reality, and a certain kind of a splendor, which is the dream. And this theme is revealed in actuality in the differences between the lifestyles of the white overseers and the plantation workers. The white people in Guyana, as you can imagine, were, to our minds, creatures of extraordinary splendor and wealth, certainly privilege and power. If you were to imagine, for example, a field, a cane field, stretching out into the vast distance. At one end, you have a clutch of wooden huts, some mud huts, some painted wooden huts. And at the other end, you have what was really a magnificent, white, spacious dwelling in which the overseers lived. And at the end of the day, cutting cane or whatever, you looked out of your window across the field, and there was this edifice which was inaccessible, which sort of after a while came to symbolize all that was inaccessible to yourself and to your own condition. And it's this tension between, or it's this looking out, if you like, that I write about. When you saw the house, you didn't really see a house, but you saw a kind of a way of living which made you, in a sense, realize how limited your own life was. And this, in other words, you started to, if you like, dream. And it's the dream and the awakening from the dream which is necessary, and the tension between the two that I write about. Now, there is another angle to the relationship, which is a sexual angle, because I think that the sense of humiliation which the, if you like, the native people endured was reinforced by the arrogant way in which the white male overseer took the women. A little example of this would be the fact that because employment was dependent upon the whims and the employment was in the power, employment promotion, or even the retention of your job was in the power of the white male overseer, it is a fact that men had to, on occasions, prostitute their daughters so as to retain their jobs or so as to acquire jobs. And these sort of instances are widespread in the country. And that reinforces, if you like, the cane cutter's sense of impotence and humiliation. I think if you read the poems, I shan't go into that in more detail. The last thing about the cultural background, which is that the white woman, the situation of the white woman, who was the most inaccessible of that sort of ambience, the white overseer's ambience. She was the most inaccessible because she was the most protected against the possibilities of, if you like, native infiltration. And because she was the most inaccessible, she became also the most desired or desirable. And all these notions and delusions and illusions about splendor, beauty, and so on, were attached to her presence. And I'll read some poems that deal with that. Now, the language. I write in a form of Creole, Guyanese Creole, because, for the simple reason, or one simple reason being that, if you like, for the reason of authenticity, if you were to write about a folk experience, I just felt that I wanted to use folk language. But there was also, if you like, a political dimension to it, because we have been, or I have been conscious of the way the English language has been used, especially in English poetry, to misrepresent or to falsify certain colonial experiences. A classic example, I remember reading a long poem by James Granger called The Sugar Cave, which I think published in the 1760s, in which Granger takes that raw and brutal sort of experience, or the materials of that, and wraps it up, or wraps them up in a napkin of poetic diction, so that he would talk about the master swain instead of the overseer, the pastoralization of that, or he would talk about an assistant planter instead of a slave, or he would talk about Afric's sable progeny. If you like, it's a classic instance of the refusal to call a spade, which is what you cannot do in Creole. The strength of Creole is that you cannot hide behind abstractions, and it is very difficult to falsify. It is very difficult to falsify an experience through using words, and so that's the sort of, if you like, the political dimension behind the use of Creole. But there was a kind of a deeper purpose, which was, if you like, an aesthetic purpose, which is that I wanted to talk about an experience which was a broken experience, and it seemed to me that the brokenness of Creole, in that brokenness resided a historical experience of the people, and so it was appropriate to use that language. I just want to read you just in the introduction to the collection itself. I explain a bit more about the language, and I'll just read a little passage. I talk about the vulgarity of the language. This brings us finally to the vulgarity of the language. It is the vulgarity of the people, the vulgarity of their way of life. There is little grace, peace, politeness in their lives, only a lot of Cain. If Cain dominates life, it also dominates death. If a Guyanese peasant dies, and one inquired of his family or friends the cause of death, the invariable answer is sugar in the blood. All non-visible fatal illnesses are attributed to this, whether it be cancer or coronary disease or whatever, are attributed to this mysterious sugar in the blood, which is a kind of a way of saying, talking about diabetes. Another feature of the language is its brokenness, no doubt reflecting the brokenness and suffering of its original users, who were African slaves and East Indian indentured laborers. Its potential as a naturally tragic language is there, there in its brokenness and rawness, which is like the rawness of a wound. If one has learned to use Queen's English for some years, the return to Creole is painful, almost nauseous, for the language is uncomfortably raw, as I said, like a wound. One has to shed one's protective sheath of abstracts and let the tongue move freely in blood again. One has to get accustomed to the unsheathing of the tongue and the contact with raw matter. And then I just ended up by saying that I have also retained the full vulgarity of the language, for it is a profound element in Guyanese life. For instance, in one particular song, the Cane Cutter's Song, I wanted to show the Creole mind straining and struggling after concepts of beauty and purity, but held back by its crude physical vocabulary. The Cane Cutter aspires to lyrical experience and expression, but cannot escape his condition of squalor, nor the crude diction that such a condition generates. So there's a kind of a tension, if you like, between the quest for notions of beauty and the inability to express them. And again, I wanted to sort of explore that tension using the Creole. I'll start by reading a poem called The Servant's Song. It's based on a folk song in Guyana, which goes like this in English. Missy lost, Missy lost, Missy lost her gold ring. Oh, find it, let me see. The white woman has lost her gold ring, go out and find it. And that's it. We've been singing this without quite sort of filling in the sort of the gaps and without quite understanding what it is. And what I try to do is to flesh out the what is unspoken. And in the poem, based on a childhood friend of mine, Peter, who was a village idiot, and basically had fallen down a poker tree when he was young, damaged his brain. The ring is lost, the white woman sends them out to find it. They can't find it, they get terribly upset. Peter has a dream, and he leads them to the finding of this ring. The Servant's Song.
White woman, hard like hassa bones, stick in your gum. Cassava pelt from shy when she stare and scan you. Dress up in silk daytime, proper stunt in she silver slipper. Everyday ting rang with she how she foss. Is like bitch in heat how she yap and spit and scratch and coss. You find my gold ring yet with my lass? No missy, yes missy, yes missy, no missy. And you bow till your neck turn rubber. Well, fine am, let me see. Else me go whip all of your negative man. Gwan, 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 ha! So we run and we search with cutlass, with torch, in bush, in back dam, in garden, in yard, till we brock up, till we mad. God, oh lad. We search kitchen, how can in the house. We search we hair like we comb for louse. Throw away the curry and look in the pot. Throw away the baby and look in the cot. But no ring there. Oh, my mama, how me frightened what me see go say. What we go do? We ring we hand. Sorry, sorry, we been born. Till Peter chup it in the head since he been young by. When he fall down coconut tree. Man chase am. Human scan am. Call them husband Peter when them a cuss. This mad ras magabai say. Levy good looking Doc Batty, me get mind a ring dede. All night me study Asian this thing, and me just know he dede. He run foul pen, pick up one by chance, raise up he feather, skinny leg and peep. How I will laugh. Doc na know what do am, Doc holla, Doc lego one shit. And ring come out. If you see leap, if you see dance, all body hug up a mad by and shaky hand. Woman squeeze up ilolo how them so happy. And all body say, are we used to mock you, Peter? Now are we go learn? Then we wash ring. Take am gimme see. She put am on she finger. But we not tell she where we find am. And when she show off and she kiss she ring, she don't know why all of we laugh so loud. She beg we for tell till she beat we, bribe we, but let she kiss her ass first. Now, behind the joke, if you like, is you know, without spoiling it, was the attempt at a deeper kind of a symbolism, which is, as you know, Guyana is dominated or shrouded in the mist of El Dorado, the city of gold. And what I've done really is to take the gold and if you like, pass it through the bowels of animals or whatever, you know. Okay, another poem called Love Song, which is about a drunken, sentimental cane cutter. Because when the cane cutter is drunk to a degree that eliminates his capacity for violence, which is very frequent, he tends to become deeply melancholy and terribly sentimental.
And in this poem, the cane cutter recognizes the dirtiness and disintegration of his daylight plantation existence, gets drunk, and withdraws into a kind of a melancholy, dreamlike, sentimental mood. The shift in mood I try to convey also through the shift in tone and rhythm, where the poem, to begin with, is incensed, a kind of an incensed throbbing that passes into a kind of a childish jingle and then disintegrates or is expanded into a kind of a sentimental mood. Love song. By the way, the love relates to the white woman. Love song. Moon eye, blue like blue saki wing. Moon eye, all man in my mind. Black man covered with estate ash, he head hard and dry like calabash. Dot in his nose hole, in his ear hole. Dot in his soul, in his batty hole. All day son bon. Tongue bon, all day throat cut, heart hot, walk na don, na don, na don. Hack, 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 cut la slip and cut me cack. Thank God, 6 o'clock. Me go home and me go bathe and me go comb and me go rock in a mock. Cassava, pepper pot, drink some rum and coconut. When my soul soft and me eye wet, and the breeze blow and me eyes shet, and the barkle na gamo rum, then let you come and take me away, where chain a de, where cane a de. Let you come with milk in your breast and your white throat bare, with bangle on your hand and bell rung your waist. Let you come with aisle and perfume and lace. Moon eye, blue like blue saki wing, silk frock tumble and splash in my face like waterfall, and your dance and your call in the night. Right, another funny poem. I've been living in England since I was, for more than half my life. And when I went back to Guyana for the first time in 76, I was speaking to my mother, as I will speak to you. I just arrived, and it takes about 4 months before you start picking up the language and the tone and the rest of it. And as I was speaking to her, somebody came up and said, in English, listen to how the boy is speaking like BBC. Because what happens is every lunchtime, we tune in, whoever's got a radio, we tune into the radio for the BBC Overseas News, which is the, if you like, one of the high cultural events of the day. And this extraordinarily posh voice, I can still remember it, you know, the bleep, 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 and this is the, you know. and that's what she meant. Anyway, I took that sort of compliment, because it was said in awe, you know, and turned it against myself. And it's a situation in this poem, a confrontation between an old peasant Guyanese type and a young travelled Guyanese who has returned home and wants to impress the young ladies and has foreign cigarettes, etc., etc. Now, there is one thing about the old Guyanese types. They have an enormous sort of extraordinary sort of ability to put you down. Now in Trinidad, I mean, this is part of the culture in Trinidad, it's called Pekong, where people can sit for hours and trade insults, you know, and they could just demolish you. And in this poem, really, I am just demolished, you know. It's called Two Cultures. Here are by a talk like BBC. Look how by a walk like white man. Car cat pony head, wristwatch pony hand. Your daddy na debadin. Plant garden near black bush pass, in a cut with sickle and dig with fark, in a sell market planting and can, and a who pick near your ass. Well, me never see story like this since me barn. He been England too, manning, illegal.
I have one to white woman. But is what them sweet water lily seed go on to with hungry belly black bush weed like you? How your teeth yellow like dal and your tongue black like cast reap? Them should have spit, vomit upon you, beat your ass with whip. Is longera like you spoil them good white people country, choke and rob, rock and enter, thief them people property? So you think you could come here and play big shot, fill we eye with ice apple, cigarette and all that? Are we poor country people, but are we got pride? Just touch me gal pick them, you go boss your backside.
Okay. A poem set in the 18th century called Slave Woman's Song. And what I wanted to convey here was just the possibilities of a kind of a lyric expression or a tone using Creole. Simple poem that doesn't demand any explanation. Ya howl, hear how ya howl. Tell me why ya howl for, tell me no. Pickney, them take pickney way. What them do with pickney make you knock your head with stone, bite your hand like dog bone. His husband make you holla gal. What them do with man make you dab your face with cow dung, juke your eye and chap your tongue. Them throw on them arara, feed am alligator, muma, pupa, Africa, belly big with massa. Ya howl, hear how ya howl, tell me why ya howl for, tell me no. I'll read one last poem and then we'll take a break. Which I must confess to be my favourite poem that I've thought at least two or three times before publishing. And it's called Slave Song and gives the title to the book as well. Inspired by a print by Blake, which was an illustration to a book published in Suriname, 1796, I think, on the kinds of slave atrocities. And in the poem, I play up on certain images of gold in a kind of a subversive way. Slave song. Tie my hand up, juke out me eye, haul my teeth out so me nago bite, put chain round my neck, lash my foot tight, set your dark for God, man, till night, but you can't stop my cack, flooding in the gold mine, can't stop my cack, splashing in the sunshine, whip me till me bleed, till me beg. Tell me how my animal, African orangutan, tell me how my cannibal, fit for slaughter, fit for hang. Slice one lip out, one ear and one leg, but you can't stop me cock, dipping in the honey pot, dripping at the tip, and happy as a hottentot. Look how ya leap from bush to bush like a black crapo, seeking at a waterhole, blind by the sun flare, tongue like a dust bowl. See how ya slip, long and full and slow, till he swell and heavy, stubborn, chupid, full asleep, like Kumudi swallow calf and stretch out in the grass, content, full of peace. Hibiscus bloom, a cool breeze blow, and from a hill a water flow, canary singing soft and low. You saw when you done dream, she pink tit, totem pole she puss, left your teeth mark like a tattoo in your throat. She give me tart, she give me wife, so tear out my liver or stake my heart, we still got life. Okay. What I'll do is read about maybe four more poems. This is a modern poem. It's called Brown Skin Girl. And again, it's the old drunken sentimental cane cutter. Who is lamenting the fact that he's abandoned by his women. It's based on a folk song in Guyana, which goes like this, in English. Brown skin girl, go home and mind baby. brown skin girl, go home and mind baby. I'm going away in a sailing boat, and if I don't come back, throw away the damn baby. Throw away meaning abortion. And it seems to me that song kind of typifies the male cruelty towards Chinese women. And in this poem, it's reversed, because the woman has gone away. What's happened since the 60s is that there's been widespread emigration to America, and also a kind of an Americanization of Guyanese life. Brown skin girl. Guan America brown skin gal, meet white man. You go land, tag, prapa, dress, drive car, hold knife and fork in your hand. The mud, the canal, the cane field gun, and me with rice bowl drinking mar. Me with rice bowl thinking far. Guan America brown skin gal, make money, make picnic, move smooth, stand tall, cockroach crickete, mosquito na dede, for brock your life and make your crawl. And me with fishnet waiting tide, dream like bleeding deep inside. This is a poem that has nothing to do with politics, colonization, white people, black people, history, or anything. It's just the kind of a poem written about, it's a personal poem, it's a poem written about the memory of my grandmother, ordinary peasant woman. Now, in the morning, what characterizes, if you like, a peasant sort of environment is the bustle and the activity of the women very early in the morning. Is they get up early, they fuss among their pots, and they roll in the dough and whatever, and then the rest of us wake up. And the men wake up last. Lazy. And this is just a kind of a celebration of that activity. I call it from Ma. Roll roti, roll roti, roll roti, roll roti, curry cooking in the karahi, bora boiling with the bhaji, wood smoke sweet in my nose like agarbati. Are you wake up, are you pick me, wake up, are you man, with the sunshine in your eye and the river aflow, and brown doves bursting from the trees and the kiskadees, and the whole savannah swimming green and aglow. Water for fetch, butter mouse for darb fresh, bucket for mend, clothes for beat. Wake up, are you pick me, walk at dawn, walk for do, cutlass for sharp, wood for chap, fence for build that bull brock dong. Is what a man a stretch yan and yan for? Hear a cow bahal in the yard out them swell with milk froth. Goat a groan, then one go graze, and sheep a calf calf. Are you wake up, time na defa cry, time na defa laugh. Hen a lay and cow a drop, time na defa stop.
A poem that I called Guyana Pastoral, which was based on reading something about a rape of a young girl. And what I tried to do in this poem is to suggest that in some ways nature itself, that sort of grotesque fecundity of Guyanese bush life, that nature itself conspires in the savagery. Pastoral. Under the tambran tree where the moon na glow, lang, lang, lang she lay, lang, lang she cry, but the wind na blow, and them rang and strang, and them walk and them brock till foul cock crow. Who see, who hear when she bully boss, when she mouth smash blood? Only the jumbie umbrella that poke up your white eye from the mud. Under the tambran tree where the sun na shine, them take up spade, them dig deep hole, them hide you from their mind. She pupaluk bush awi hak awi hala. She mumakal priest kill calf pray Krishna Christ Allah. 9 months since them search and them shout east, west, north, south. Who know where she last? Who know where for fine? Only the kush kush ants that lay them white egg in she mouth. A poem called Elegy, which is, again, a kind of a personal poem. My grandfather, really, old sod, I'm still alive, in spite of the title. And we'll be going for many years, you know. And basically it's about an old man who wakes up and feels that in some ways life is dead in him, but there's life all around. And comes to a kind of a realization that one day he himself will be going, all his friends have gone. And I use a kind of series of images of peasant breakdown and disorder, using sort of homely, domestic images. Elegy. So you lean over landing, early call morning, old man, you're sick, is what do you? Warang. And your hand weak, tremble, and your mouth move, but word na de. And your eyes stare out at the field, lang, lang. But you na see calf stir and struggle for sock, and you na hear high from jamun tree blue saki sang. Is all you old, is dawa mek. Snake neck, fish eye, bad man, rich head. Young yesterday all of them buys, teeth man, black batty goose. Late, late in the night, I you drink rum, I you beat drum. Roast crab, corass, tell jumbie story till morning come. Is where them day? I'll lay up them net. I'll put down them cutlass. I'll let them sheep loose. I'll dead. And Jazz Matty, beating clat on the river bank, tomp, 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 tomp. How your hands strong and your back straight and your bobby sweet sapadilla brong. You remember when you first see she how your throat lump? How she young body leap, leak blood when you roll ship on the grong? Ah, them slingshot boss. Ah, them fence brock dong. So jackass graze in them vegetable garden, bird a peck, fireside crack and bottom house, and puck in a blow, bell in a walk, and is what I make. Right. Shall we read one more? Okay. This is about it's called Men and Women, and it's about the relationship between men and women in Guyana, native people. And again, I'm concerned about the kinds of male cruelties that operate against women. And in the poem, I think I tried to make the point that it's only by individual remorse that that this extraordinary situation can be redeemed in some way. And basically, it's about the man who comes back and, having abandoned his wife, and supported all his money in a whorehouse, which is a kind of a common way of behaving, but then comes back and sees the old woman. So, Nasari. But when you grow old and your voice weak and your mouth dribble and your foot bottom crack, it's too late for Cesari, but we're still sorry. cast me drink rum and beat your young self with thy face. Cast me give your big belly year after year, nine picnic for feed, and me run away with sweet woman, sport all me inheritance or house. Cause you walk in the field, morning till night, bruise up your small hand and your skin peel in the sun. Cause when you sit down and roll roti or rock baby in amok, you not sing glad, glad like other woman, how your mouth sour like a char. We come back now, but now you old, and you don't know me, how your mind weak and your eye dull. The blood stir in my body still when me look upon you, like long time when you was me midnight bride, bright, fresh, hopeful, and me lay you down a pillar bed, downstairs them a beat drum, them a sing love song, them a dance in the firelight, and me sorry bad.
Okay, thank you.